And we welcome you back in to In Focus here. News Radio came in just after 9:41. Brandon Peoples here, Linda Glasgow from the Riley County Historical Museum joining us here. She's the curator of the archives and library. Doug Tippin, who's heading up this great project here, the Military Road Marker Project from Fort Leavenworth to Fort Riley Military Road. This has really been interesting because obviously you mentioned it wasn't just used by the military. A lot of folks used this road. And you really, I've noticed here, just kind of seeing the different markers here of where they're located at, you see the map of present-day Manhattan and the whole region kind of come together because of this road, it seems like.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
And it's just, it kind of followed the rivers a little bit, and maybe there was a purpose for that, I don't know.
Yeah, it followed the river somewhat. However, they didn't want to get too close because if it was a wet season, along the rivers was rather probably a little soggy. So they preferred to stay on the high ridges somewhat. But yes, they sometimes kind of followed the rivers, probably for the need of water and so forth. I might mention the type of markers that we've used. There's two types. Most of them in Raleigh County are limestone, and they weigh approximately 4.5 to 5.5 tons each. And I'd like to mention, if it wasn't for Beyer Construction, we wouldn't be able to do this project. They have provided the heavy equipment to move the markers and set the markers and so forth, so we really appreciate Beyer Construction. And they are placed about 3 feet in the ground in concrete, so they probably aren't going to be moved too easily. It's a cottonwood ledge type of limestone, which is probably the best. And then on the stone, we have placed a 24-by-24-inch bronze plaque. Those are made in Oklahoma City. And we would chisel out about 3/4 of an inch into the stone and place the plaque in there. So those are what most of them are in Raleigh County. Now, east of Raleigh County, we kind of changed our plan a little bit, and we went with stainless steel markers. I have two legs on them, and they're also put in the ground in concrete. And then on those, we've attached a 24-by-24-inch digitized plaque indicating the script of that particular area on the military road. So those are the type of markers that we have. And a lot of people have asked, how have you been financing this? Well, there's a number of ways, and Linda's going to tell us about some of the financial donors.
Yes, financial contributors to the project include Commerce Bank, the Jim Colley family, Mr. and Mrs. John R. Adams family, Dan Weir family, K.E. Rabbi family, Joe D. Haynes family, L.R. Kidd family, Capital Federal Savings, Morris and Betty Werner, that's W-E-R-N-E-R, T. William Varney family, and James S. Hunter, Jr., M.D. family, Doug and Pat Tippin, the D.A.R., the Citizens Band Potawatomi Nation, Schwinn family, and the Don Combs Memorial.
Yes, we appreciate all those people and their contribution. And might also mention that the Daughters of the American Revolution have been very, very helpful. They have helped sponsor several markers. And there's another group that was not on that list that goes back to Jefferson County, and that was the Daughters of the American Colonist. And they put up a marker there at the Jefferson West High School. So thanks to all those people. We really appreciate what they have done. I might clarify the name Warner. We mentioned Morris Warner. He spelled it W-E-R-N-E-R. Warner Park is W-A-R-N-E-R. So it was two different families with the name Warner. Morris Warner, as I mentioned, moved from Manhattan to Tennessee, and he not only researched this military road, but he researched a lot of other topics in the state of Kansas, and he just passed away about 3 years ago. He was in his 90s. We should mention that the military road continued on west of Fort Riley, and there's another group that's working on markers and things west of Fort Riley. The Smoky Hill Trail Association is one group that's working. The goal eventually is to have it all these roads marked all the way across Kansas, and hopefully maybe we can get that on the Department of Interior maps. So takes a long time to get all these things accomplished.
Okay. Let me stop you right there for just a second. Dave, you have something?
Yeah, we'll take our commercial break after this, but we have Ryan Alms, Manhattan City's deputy fire chief here on the phone this morning. And Ryan, I understand you've got a little hectic activity in Aggieville this morning.
Yeah, that's right. We had a electrical issue. The West Star described as the three-phase power that's down here. They lost one of the legs of power. And so what that caused is that caused any of the motors that run off three-phase to not operate correctly. And so we ended up responding to 1100 Fremont, which is the Beta Sigma Phi house, for a motor there that was smoking. And then we also ended up responding to Chipotle on North Manhattan, and then also to Popeye's for reports of smoke that were both related to the issue. And it didn't cause any damage to those buildings, but it did create a smoke scare down here.
I don't know that I've heard any of these scenarios happen like this before, where, you know, various sections of Aggieville, you know, or any shopping area or residential district being affected by such a situation.
Yeah, we've had this happen before, usually not quite this widespread. And then we also had a couple of fire alarms go off that may have been related to it as well. And then we also ran a gas leak at the same time. So it got really busy for about 20, 30 minutes here for us this morning.
How many crews did you have on site in Aggieville this morning?
Well, we had our normal five units on, five engines. And then we also had an extra one on because we had training going on today. So we actually had a sixth unit. And we used all of our available resources to respond to those, and then the gas leak we had over on Judson.
Okay. But as a result, you're saying no damage. Would there be some smoke damage to any of those businesses, or was this smoke on the exterior of the structures?
I think the smoke in the restaurants was probably because the fan motor that normally draws the smoke out. So the smoke in those buildings was probably just related to cooking smoke. And I'm not so sure on the fraternity whether or not they have any smoke damage or not, but it did sound minor.
Okay. And you probably don't have any particular information at this point whether when those businesses will be able to reopen.
No, I don't know how soon the power will be restored or whether it's been fully restored down here or not.
Okay. But Westar is also working on the scenario as well, correct?
They are. We have seen them down here, and I saw that there were approximately 1,500 customers on their website showed that they were without power because of the outage.
Okay. Any other details we should be aware of this morning, Ryan?
No, just if anybody who lives in the area or works in the area does end up having some sort of an electrical or burning smell, go ahead and call us, get us out and take a look at it to make sure we don't have a fire going.
Did I understand also that there have been some stoplight issues in the area?
Yeah, when I drove down, the stoplights were out at North Manhattan and Bluemont and 11th and Bluemont as well.
Okay. All right. K-Man's Nick McNamara was down and took a few photographs of some smoke coming from some of those buildings. But Deputy Fire Chief Ryan Holmes, thank you so much for joining us, and keep us up to date, would you please? Appreciate it.
I will do that. Thanks, Dave.
You bet. And we'll keep you posted on any further developments with some electrical issues compromising some businesses and residences in and around the Aggieville area this morning. Back with more In Focus in just a couple of moments.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sleep Source, your appliance specialist.